Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Filmon, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another episode where we have in-depth conversations, and I always like to remind everyone, the real purpose of this program is to bring to you a variety of voices and insights and strategies and healing modalities so you can expand your horizon, be able to make informed choices so you can truly find the best path for you. And as always, I have a wonderful program in store for you today. I do want to say, if you'd like to listen to all the past shows and the archives of this program and also my other podcast, The Love Code, on Progressive Radio Network, you can go to any platform. You can go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know. You can go to Podbean. You can go to Apple. You can go wherever they have a podcast, and you'll find my programs there. So let's just jump in. We're going to be talking about restoring metabolic health to beat cancer with Jay Moon, who's my guest today, and a little bit about Jay. So says, I will never forget the day in March 2022 when my doctor said to me, Jay, you have cancer. Would you like to get a scan so you know what you're up against? My journey in metabolic health began in 2008. And the 15 years of experience gave me the confidence to say, no, thank you, I know what to do. 9 months after my original diagnosis, during a follow-up examination, my doctor looked at me and said, that's amazing, the tumor is completely gone. What an inspiring message to receive for all of us dealing with chronic conditions, what's possible. So that's why I wanted Jay to be on the show today, talk more about his personal journey, what he discovered, and how it's changed his life. So, Jay, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, and welcome to What Women Must Know.
Dr. Cheryl, thank you for having me. I really have been looking forward to this talk.
Are you there, Jay?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. Oh, good. I just want to make sure everything was working in the system here. So let's talk about your journey, Jay. Where did this life-changing event, and how did it unfold, and a little bit about your story that took you to this purpose, this work that you're doing now and offering people solutions as well?
Going back to the beginning, my God, it was a God shot. It wasn't a career path. The recession happened here in America in 2008. That prompted, we had legal cannabis here in California, you know, for the last 30 years. It only became clearly defined in the last 4 or 5 years. And so at the prompting of the economic crash in 2008, I opened a legal cannabis corporation and it was really just a side business to help us through the recession. And a friend of mine, Stephanie, she's a hippie from the 60s, been a cannabis activist her whole life. She taught me how to grow. And a couple of years later, she was diagnosed with cancer and said to me, cannabis oil cures cancer, Jay. Will you figure this out for me? And I, of course, said yes, dear friend. And drove home that day thinking, this is crazy. Cannabis oil and cancer, give me a break. Needless to say, I was skeptical beyond belief. I did not believe for 1 minute it would help. And thank God I turned out to be wrong. I went to one of the stores that I was working with, and Aaron referred me to a gentleman who had discovered the Rick Simpson protocol in 2009, and UC Irvine.
Before we go further, why don't we let people know what the Rick Simpson protocol is?
The Rick Simpson protocol, and you could read his book, Run from the Cure, but it basically states that human beings have a cannabinoid system, and one of the areas of control of health in that system is apoptosis, natural cell death. And cannabinoids are made in the human body and on the cannabis plant. And when those cannabinoids attach to the receptor that's found on every single cell, if it's a cancer cell and the cannabinoid attaches to the receptor, It triggers the release of a chemical that kills the mitochondria, so the cell dies a natural death. That is irrefutable science. And based on that protocol of taking 900 to 1,800 milligrams of cannabis oil daily, Rick Simpson states in his protocol that it will either cure your cancer or ease your transition into the next chapter with an absence of pain not found with morphine or oxy or fentanyl. And I can tell you that Stephanie was the first. We began working with her in 2012. That spring, her body weight had dropped to 69 pounds during the spring of 2013. And she was literally on death's door. By July of 2013, her scan came back, no evidence of disease. She continued on the Rick Simpson protocol for several years and remains cancer-free to this day. That changed my life. I left my career. I went full-time making cannabis oil, growing it, manufacturing it into products. And that's really how it all began. And Stephanie is alive and well today.
Wow. And this Rick Simpson oil is very different formulation than what people would normally find if they go to a dispensary, right? It's much more potent.
Rick Simpson oil is just a catch-all phrase for cannabis oil. The true definition of Rick Simpson oil is whole plant, terpene-rich cannabis oil, okay? And it could be THC or CBD or CBG, but cannabis oil, Rick Simpson oil, hemp oil, these words are synonymous and can be used and interchanged. The trick to the Rick Simpson protocol is the dosing schedule. As you well know, doctor, I mean, it doesn't matter if we're talking vitamin C or cannabis oil. If you don't get to therapeutic dose level for your condition and your body weight, it will be ineffective. And it doesn't matter if it's THC, CBD, or CBG. They all are psychoactive. They have different levels of psychoactivity. And anybody who's taken 1 to 200 milligrams of CBD will tell you it was not a great day. It could be, you know, racing thoughts, awkward, driving 20 miles under the speed limit on the freeway. I'm not comfortable. I'm not happy. I don't feel good. I just want to eat and sleep it off. And that's with CBD. And you know, most people today, as we come to understand the value of cannabinoids in our body, nobody wants to feel impaired or uncomfortable. A THC overdose is 1,000 times worse. I mean, and that's where the problem with the Rick Simpson protocol comes into play. Probably 99% of all people that attempt to do it will not reach therapeutic dose because they can't build a tolerance to plant cannabinoids, okay? Whether it's THC or CBD or CBG, it doesn't matter. And our big breakthrough came 3 years later in 2016 when we discovered if you change the delivery method, you don't get high. You're not impaired. So you can begin to take 600, 900, 1,800 milligrams a day as called for in this Rick Simpson protocol and not be impaired, not be high, not be uncomfortable, not be wasted, not be stoned, but you're at therapeutic dose. And the entire trick to this is simple. Change the delivery method. Literally every other company out there will dose between 10 and 30 milligrams. And lots of folks listening today have bought gummies to help them go to sleep and CBD for, you know, pain management. And those dosing schedules are usually 20 or 30 milligrams each. And you might do that two or three times a day. With what we do is dose at 2 or 300 milligrams, so it's literally 10 times more, and you can do that 1 to 6 times a day, depending on your need, and not be impaired. And changing the delivery method is simple. It's either a suppository or an enteric-coated gel cap. And the reason the enteric-coated gel caps work is because they're acid-resistant. They do not dissolve in your stomach. They're delayed release, and they dissolve in your intestine, just like a suppository. So whenever we deliver a medication payload to the intestine, it goes right directly into the bloodstream, and that prevents psychoactivity in cannabinoids, and it also reduces toxicity by a factor of up to 40 times less toxicity when talking about amygdalin. And these are the two primary plant nutrients that we work with.
So that's such an important point for people to understand. If to get a therapeutic dose of THC, which is the the key psychoactive component of cannabis for the benefit of cancer, if you were to take that in any other form, it would just be too strong. You would be so stoned. It would be overwhelming. You couldn't function. But when you take it with the delivery systems, either rectally with the suppository or, as you said, the enteric-coated gel caps, you are bypassing the absorption in the intestines and getting it directly into your bloodstream, allowing the body to get the therapeutic dose it needs without any side effects, without any symptoms of being high in any way or uncomfortable in any way. And I can vouch for that because I've been using your products in my own personal journey. And there are, no effects of taking high doses of THC into the body, which is what we want to work with cancer and other chronic conditions. So let's talk about your experience because you had your own cancer journey.
Yes. Yes. I, 2 years ago in March, I was working out and I was applying some topical cream to my chest. And I found a peanut-sized lump next to my left nipple. And it was rock hard, and it hurt. And I thought, I went to the right side. It's like, not there. This wasn't here. I've never felt anything like this. This is not good. Oh, no, it's my turn. And I knew. I went to my doctor, and he conducted, you know the feeling and the words during those moments. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I will never forget that day when he said to me, he goes, Jay, it's either cancer or pre-cancer. Would you like to get a scan so you know what we're up against? I looked at him. I said, you know what? We both know what this is. He looked at me. He said, yes, we do. He said, no, thanks. I don't need the scan. I will knock this out with our protocol. He smiled. When I discovered non-psychoactive delivery, he began refer clients to me. So over the last almost 8 years now, you see the magic that happens when we hit therapeutic dose, okay? And I think it's important for people to know that this is irrefutable scientific fact. Western medicine has published and funded over 35,000 clinical peer-reviewed studies regarding cannabinoids. Our body has a cannabinoid system, probably the largest messenger molecule system in the body. And here's what's really crazy. When you look at the area that the cannabinoid system controls, these are the areas that cannabinoids may potentially be a life-changing supplement, and that is cell health, cell death, apoptosis. Those are obviously related to serious conditions that we're talking about here today. But the cannabinoid system also controls body weight, appetite. Smoke a joint, get the munchies is an example. The science guy would say that is a phytocannabinoid stimulating the human endocannabinoid system component regarding your appetite. So you get hungry. Cannabinoids are in breast milk. They encourage the baby to latch on to the mother and begin to nurse. They control our appetite. Also blood pressure, inflammation, how pain levels are felt, and this is a really big one, homeostasis of our immune system. These are the areas of, oh, and sleep. Cannabinoids hold a huge responsibility in sleep. So any area that the cannabinoid system controls, if you hit therapeutic dose, there is a good chance that it could be a life-changing experience for you. So because the cannabinoid system is such an important aspect of our ongoing health and healing, it is a bonanza when it comes to medical applications and phytocannabinoid supplements for sleep, blood pressure, body weight, cell health, cell death, homeostasis of the immune system, pain levels. A little known fact, opiates attach to cannabinoid receptors to lower pain. You can go, or literally, yeah, I've had some clients go cold turkey. Don't recommend it, okay, but it's been done. Mm-hmm. You know, generally we reduce opiates, you know, by a third every week while we bring on board 9 to 1800 milligrams of plant cannabinoids in order to switch out opiates for cannabinoids. They attach to the same receptors. Pain is managed equally well and withdrawal symptoms are reduced by 80, 90, in many cases, 100%. So you're coming off opiates. And you have no withdrawal symptoms, and your pain is managed equally well because you've traded one molecule for another that both attach to the same receptors in order to get the job done. And when you come off plant cannabinoids, there's no withdrawal symptoms. There's no withdrawals at all. So it's really when you study the cannabinoid system and look at it like, okay, I've got a sleep issue, so I can use CBG, THC, or CBN. And I experiment with my dosing in order to get to a level where I go to sleep easy and I stay asleep. And non-psychoactive delivery enables us to experiment with those dosing levels without the consequence of being loaded, stoned, and impaired.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in one aspect of woman's health, I know this from personal experience with my wife. She had the most horrendous PMS that you could imagine. Literally day one, in bed, doubled over in pain, okay? Mm-hmm. Day two, still very much in pain, still just getting out of bed. And it takes 9 to 1800 milligrams of cannabinoids. And it's always best if you start a day or two before the cycle, so to get in front of it. But now she has a normal day and reports, well, I'm tired, I'm lethargic, I'm not in pain. And those are the differences that really move the needle in terms of someone's, you know, happiness and quality of life. I mean, you just by taking a plant supplement, you've eliminated 2 days of laying in bed in pain. It's miraculous to watch, okay? And it's simple to do with non-psychoactive delivery. It's up to people to play with the dosing, okay? To find what works for them. Even with 35 to 40,000 published peer-reviewed studies on cannabinoids, we do not have a baseline for what a human cannabinoid system, what are correct and normal levels, okay? So we're really working in the dark to find out, does it take one pill, three pills, four pills? you know, it's up to each individual to play with that and find out the dose that works for them. It's all about taking responsibility of our metabolic health.
You know, several years ago, I got really interested in the whole cannabinoid world. You know, it's been demonized for so long, and people generally are so scared of cannabinoids. But as I investigated it, I wrote a book called The Hemp Health Revolution. It talked about the non-THC over-the-counter version, which is very different from what we're talking about here, which incorporates THC, which is the active ingredient that has psychoactive effects, the therapeutic effects, much more powerful than just taking the non-THC version. But there has been tremendous amount of research initiated out of Israel that has shown that this plant has been given to us as a gift by the creator, you might say, to really facilitate profound healing and transformation. And people are listening, just want to encourage people not to be afraid, not to be operating out of false programming that we've had about this is a dangerous drug and it's, you know, it's illegal or it'll make you crazy. None of that. It actually is a gift that we've been given by nature that has been discovered that it is activating a system that you mentioned so well, the endocannabinoid system, that, you know, wasn't even known 20 years ago, that is a key regulatory system for the entire body and all the key functions of our body. So the fact that we've been denied this plant for so long is really one of those crimes against humanity. It can alleviate so much suffering. And in the world of pain, in the world of mood, in the world of sleep, in the world of cancer, it is truly a powerful healing gift given to us. And most people, if they are interested and curious about using CBD or THC for cancer, are confused or worried how to get the therapeutic dose, because even though when people research it and they get into the Rick Simpson story, it's such a high potency that if you were to take it any other way, you take it orally, you probably couldn't manage it because it's so intense and it's so saturated in intensity. But the delivery system that you've created and the best way to take these kinds of medicines is in a suppository form, because it doesn't get absorbed into your bloodstream and make you high.
It does get absorbed into your bloodstream. Here's the trick, okay? If you like a gummy or you know a tincture, right? Goes through your digestive tract, makes it to the liver, takes about a half hour to an hour depending on your metabolism, and once it hits the liver, that's when you get high. That's why when you eat a pot brownie, it takes a half hour to an hour before you get high. It's at the liver from your stomach that the cannabinoids convert to psychoactivity. If you skip the stomach and go to the intestine, it goes directly into your bloodstream. It eventually makes it to the liver, but it comes out a different direction, so it doesn't convert to psychoactivity. That's why suppositories and enteric-coated gel caps work. Also, and this isn't legal, we can't do this yet, but intravenous THC, CBD, and CBG are also non-psychoactive. And that was the subject of my first patent filing, that discovery in relation to delivery methods, non-psychoactivity in regard to cancer and autoimmune issues. It was that discovery that I would not have remained in this space with cannabinoids and amygdalin had it not been for those discoveries, because it simply didn't work. You know, if you take, you know, most of our dosing, like say for instance with arthritis pain, okay, and inflammation, our minimum dosing is 200 to 400 milligrams a day, okay? if you took 200 to 400 milligrams of CBD, I promise you, you would be and took that orally, I promise you, you would be calling me, telling me about what a bad day you had and how unhappy you are with the experience. So it's all about therapeutic dosing. And we have to begin to think about this as, okay, the cannabinoid system controls these aspects of health and healing. How are we going to deliver the therapeutic dose? And it's up to me to discover what dose works for me, whether that's 2, 6, 9, 12, 1800 milligrams a day. That is up to you. And I can tell you that, you know, probably 5 to 10% of people, you know, have a life-changing experience doing what I call microdosing, what everybody else does, at 10 to 30 milligrams a dose. When you go to 2 to 300 milligrams a dose, our success rate increases exponentially, okay? And this is in regards to seizures, inflammation, arthritis pain, PMS, autoimmune serious conditions we are only going to move the needle at therapeutic dosing, okay? And that's what these delivery systems provide, an easy way to do it. And I really wanted to spend a little bit about, you know, the cause of various conditions, because you touched on a good point about cannabis. And 100 years ago, the war on cannabis began, and the war on natural medicine began. And cannabis is not only a gift for our health, it is also a biodegradable. You can make plastic bottles out of it. You can make clothing out of it. You can make paper out of it. You can make hemp diesel gasoline out of it. And it's because of this, those are the reasons that the war on cannabis began, okay? It had absolutely nothing to do with the racist, sexist, unbelievable lies told how black jazz musicians were seducing white women with marijuana, and it was a propaganda campaign of the most heinous, disgusting variety. And they initiated that campaign, Hearst, DuPont, Anzinger. These folks had a lot to lose to cannabis. First with his paper empire, DuPont had just patented nylon. He did not want to compete against hemp products. Heck, we used to make Levi's out of hemp, okay? Clothing was made from hemp, and DuPont did not want to compete. Rockefeller did not want to compete against hemp diesel gasoline against his petroleum gasoline. So they took out the only potential competitor on earth, and that is hemp cannabis, as a biomass to fund and manufacture our society's products. Henry Ford was a big proponent of hemp. He wanted to make car bodies out of it. He spoke out in favor of this. He envisioned the American farmland growing hemp and growing the raw materials to make plastic bottles, car bodies, clothing. The list is endless. And that is the reason for the propaganda, and it still holds true to this day. That plant is the only competitor to oil as a change in biomass. And that is why we continue today with the policies that are enforced and written. And I can say it's as people become more informed of the importance of this plant and what can be made from it, the only thing to do is to complete legalization and regulate it like corn and strawberries, okay? It really is a God-given gift to humanity in health and a wealth of products. It just, I can't state that strong enough.
And thanks for that overview, because I think that stigma still exists, and so many people still operate out of the belief that, you know, it's something that is in some way harmful or illegal, or somehow they just can't see themselves doing that because it just seemed like such a, you know, hippie thing to be doing. But it's really good to remind people that we've been hoodwinked and denied access to one of the most powerful healing plants on the planet. And now, not only through your personal experience, but through your research, you've been able to provide a therapeutic safely. By the way, the question I also had, what about people who are worried about being tested at work, drug tested?
They need to know that even CBD will come back as a dirty marijuana test, okay? It is, I mean, obviously the laws in both of our countries have not caught up with public opinion. Here in America, I'm not sure of the numbers, 70, 80% of people think it should, okay? And and no one is factoring in non-psychoactive delivery when taking a cannabinoid supplement when it comes to a drug test, okay? So, I mean, if someone has that issue, like an airline pilot or a bus driver or law enforcement, and I work with all of those folks, and I can provide the documentation that demonstrates, yep, we're taking a cannabinoid supplement. We're doing so in a way that is not psychoactive, so you are not impaired. And when when we go forth with that information and approach, you know, the agency or the boss or human resources, we've made headway in nearly every case. Like, okay, that makes sense. No problem. We'll eliminate this on the drug test for now. You know, good luck in healing yourself with said condition. So honest, open communication.
This is good to know. I was going to say, Jay, that's so good to know, because if this is life-saving, you don't want to have to make a choice, your job or taking a therapeutic you know, solution for your health, for your life.
It boils down to, you know, freedom of choice. And I believe strongly that we should have freedom of choice in how to heal our bodies. And you know, one thing I wanted to say, too, is, you know, that same 100 years ago when Rockefeller began the war on hemp, he also began the war on natural medicine. And 100 years has passed, and yet today Western medicine would argue to us that 91 to 98% of all disease is of unknown origin. And I say, really, really. We have spent trillions and trillions of dollars over the last century, and still to this day, you can't tell me what is the cause of arthritis. Really? You can't tell me what the cause of my autoimmune disease is. You can't tell me what the cause of cancer is. And I say BS. I believe that when Elon Musk talks about the first principle of problem solving in business, whether it's writing code or building electric cars, is correct. You have to fundamentally diagnose the problem correctly. What is the cause? And there are doctors and scientists from around the world, including the United States, who state clearly that cancer is a metabolic disease, that autoimmune is a metabolic disease, that MS, celiac disease, type 1 diabetes, these are all metabolic diseases. And if they are correct, and I know that they are, because the only aspect of medicine that I use is metabolic, okay? Cannabinoids supercharge your cannabinoid immune system, so your metabolic health improves dramatically. Utilizing amygdalin to kill parasites, viruses, and retroviruses is probably one of the most important proactive things that you can do for your health, period. We, you know, lots of people today are waking up to this, and they're utilizing benbendazole and ivermectin, and they are learning how to treat daily in their own home responsible for their own health, how to get rid of bugs and parasites. And when we dive down that rabbit hole, okay, that aspect of health is unbelievably important. Dr. John Harley, Children's Cleveland Hospital in Ohio, he published a study. His life, and he's an icon in terms of science research. And he published a study several years ago. His life's goal was to cure lupus. And he put together a team. They wrote an algorithm that pulled data from hospitals all around the world, multi-year study. The conclusion of this study was that the Epstein-Barr virus is directly responsible for causing lupus, MS, celiac disease, irritable bowel syndrome. He defined 8 diseases that were directly linked and caused by Epstein-Barr and 80 more that he didn't have the research to complete. You can study folks like Dr. Hans Napier, who was at Sloan Kettering in the 1970s when they studied amygdalin. Amygdalin, like cannabis, has 3 names. With cannabis, it's, one is cannabis, of course, which is its true name. It's either cannabis indica or cannabis sativa. But it also has a couple of other names, and one of them is hemp, and another one is marijuana. Hemp and marijuana are the names given to change our belief system about cannabis. Okay? And the same holds true for amygdalin. Amygdalin is also called laetril. Laetril is a synthetic copy of the amygdalin molecule. And as you well know, probably over half the drugs are a synthetic copy of a plant molecule. And it's also called B17. And cannabis and amygdalin are the 2 most vilified plant molecules on earth. And that is because they are the 2 most effective. Just as they tried to relabel ivermectin as horse paste, and the FDA here in America telling people, you guys aren't pigs or cows, stop taking this. Well, ivermectin and penicillin are probably the most 2 important. Those two drugs have probably saved more lives than most others combined, okay? Ivermectin won the Nobel Prize in Medicine, and its function is to kill worms and bugs. And when we determine that the cause of most diseases is metabolic, and we realize that Western medicine is purposely saying the cause is unknown, and if you don't know the cause of something, that pretty much in my book disqualifies you from any intelligent dialogue regarding the topic. You're at that point boxed into the corner with symptom management. If you don't know the cause, you don't know how to fix it. You don't know if it's curable. You don't really know the first principle of problem solving. You haven't answered the basic question. And Dr. Thomas Siegfried out of Boston University here in America has studied more different cancers than anybody today, okay? And he states clearly that cancer is not a genetic disorder. It is a metabolic disorder. And the first thing you have to do is cut off the food source, have to eliminate sugar. And that means a high-fat ketogenic diet or a carnivore diet. And I know that this goes against the narrative as well. But it is also the least inflammatory diet someone can eat while battling a condition. And the elimination of sugar is simply common sense because a human cell has gone haywire. It has de-evolved into a state they classify as fermenting, and it only consumes sugar. And Dr. Siegfried states, point blank, parasites are a major cause of this condition as well. And when you look at doctors and scientists from around the world, we know that disease, for the most part, is a metabolic disorder that can be corrected by the right nutrients, detoxing from parasites, supercharging our cannabinoid system, ozone therapy. These tools move the needle in terms of metabolic health unlike anything I've ever seen. And that's really what I wanted to communicate today, is that we are completely responsible for our health. And we can't turn it over to another individual that says, I don't know what's causing your problem, but take this, okay? It goes against the first principle of problem solving. Must determine what caused this condition if I'm going to rectify it. And that's what we try to do.
I just want to say, thanks for reiterating that, because the last several shows I have done have been with Dr. Seyfried and other doctors talking about the metabolic theory of cancer and how we have to understand what really drives cancer and then change the environment and therefore the diet that's created it. So, sugar has been the demon that's been let loose everywhere.
It's truly
the devil. And, I've changed my diet to the very ketogenic, more carnivore side of things as well for my healing journey. But I just want people to understand that you've talked about amygdala, and we talked about B17 a little bit, but it is incorporated in your formulas and your suppositories. So I think we just really want to clarify that for people, that you don't just have high therapeutic doses of the strain of cannabis, CBG, that's most effective for cancer, but you've also combined it in a unique way with this B17 or amygdalin component. So do you want to just elaborate a little bit more on your formula and what you've done and why?
Absolutely. Amygdalin, like cannabis, has three different names. To me now, that's always the first indicator when they try to rebrand it and rename it. It's like, here we go. And amygdalin was discovered over 100 years ago, okay? The synthesized version of amygdalin is called Laetril. It was studied at Sloan Kettering back in the early 1970s. I strongly suggest everybody interested in this watch a documentary called Second Opinion. It was done by Dr. Ralph Moss, who was the publicity officer at Sloan Kettering during the time of these clinical trials. And Dr. Segura, one of the premier researchers of our time back then, came out and said it was the best cancer drug the Institute had ever studied. Many other scientists said, nope, doesn't work. Shortly thereafter, Laetril, the synthetic version of amygdalin, was made illegal in the United States, and people seeking this treatment would then go to Mexico or Germany. They'd go out of the country to receive it. Generally speaking, they're going to receive 30,000 milligrams of amygdalin intravenously into their arm every week. Those are some of the typical therapeutic dosing strategies in Mexico and Germany. And Dr. Hans Napier, a German scientist who was at Sloan Kettering during that time, returned home and began to use this in his practice. And he wrote a book, you can buy it on Amazon, called A Curious Man. And it talks about the multi-layer, integrative, metabolic, and Western medicine approach that he used to cure 3,000 cancer and MS patients. And we now know today that amygdalin, even Sloan Kettering says amygdalin is effective against the Epstein-Barr virus. I was reading their stuff on amygdalin last year, and I was like, wow, they even admit it works with Epstein-Barr. That's, they claim that it is, you know the rest of the story. But Hans Napier is a brilliant integrative doctor, okay? And he used amygdalin as a primary tool in the treatment of cancer and MS. And we now know that the amygdalin was effective against the Epstein-Barr virus, which is one of the primary reasons he was effective against MS. And utilizing those two plant molecules, and by the way, Dr. Schell, I subscribe to Dr. Klinghart's theory. And it is, I mean, I've witnessed it in my own life and countless others. When we reduce the parasitic load in a patient, and I am here to say that this is not something our doctors do on our annual visit. Do you have tests? Mm-hmm. Do you eat sushi? If the answer to yes to either of those questions, I can practically guarantee you have worms, okay? And these have a devastating effect on our immune system and health. So the reduction and the elimination of these retroviruses, viruses, parasites, and worms is critical. And I have found this to be true, and Dr. Klinghardt stated in many podcasts that I've listened to, that it doesn't matter what the client comes to us for. What we begin to do is reduce their parasitic load, and they become asymptomatic. When the bugs are out of control, they're symptomatic for whatever that particular diagnosis is, dependent upon their DNA and the type of parasites and viruses they have. And I know that is true. I've seen it in my own life and with countless other people I work with. And it's shocking, literally shocking. I have one client I work with. We began 16 months ago, and he just completed chemo and radiation. Testicular cancer. On his first dose, he began to poop out worms. 16 months later, he is still pooping out what he describes as black bugs and sea monkeys. And last week, his scan and blood markers came back, no sign of cancer. And as I spoke with him, I said, we are not treating cancer. We are treating your metabolic health. It doesn't matter if it's arthritis, cancer, autoimmune, MS, PMS, we don't have a cancer treatment. We have a metabolic health plan. That's it. And anybody that tells you, oh, I've got the cure for cancer, is A, lying, and two, should go to jail, because it is just insane to think that there is some magic bullet for some allegedly unknown cause of the disease that you have. There is no magic bullet. It is personal responsibility for your metabolic health. That's what we teach, and that's all we offer. It is across the board the same treatment, whether you have – it's your own health choices. This is a lifestyle choice more than a treatment plan, and that means non-GMO, ruthlessly cutting out sugar and carbs, and making sure that everything you consume – is a non-GMO, nutrient-dense. I look at it like my car, my body is my race car, okay? And for my race car, I'm going to put in the best oil and the best gasoline. I'm going to make sure the maintenance is up to date. And that's how we have to look at our body. We are putting in fuel. That fuel is going to determine whether or not we run right. And one great test that I recommend for everyone is called a methylation test. $500-$600 here in America. It's a cheap swab, and you will know what your body is converting. Is it converting selenium? Is it converting magnesium? How are you doing with zinc, vitamin D, D3? It really, really is a determining factor, and you only have to do it once. And then the supplements you buy are designed to really deliver to your deficiencies. Because today most people, we're out there, following the next thing in terms of supplements. But we now have a method to know what our body is converting correctly from our diet and what we need to supplement. So a methylation test gives you the ability to buy the right supplements, the raw materials that your body needs to run right. And I can't stress that enough, that as an overall metabolic health program, we have to consume nutrient-dense, non-GMO food, take trace minerals every day. 4% of our body weight consists of trace minerals, all right? We don't get enough of it in our diet. Every chemical interaction in our body is dependent upon a sufficient trace mineral load in order to be completed and conducted correctly. So trace minerals, a methylation test, a parasite cleanse and a cannabinoid supplement to bring your immune system into homeostasis so it runs right. And I got to tell you, you know, it's one thing that came out in the COVID event that we had in summer of 2020. The University of Georgia conducted a study on cannabinoids and determined that high-dose CBD could bring your immune system back into homeostasis and prevent or stop the cytokine storm that put so many people on a respirator. And it makes me angry to think that, you know, this information was not on the 6 o'clock news. Because when we take responsibility for our metabolic health, it lowers the profit margin of Western medicine dramatically. And that information is something people need to know, that it's metabolic health that matters. And utilizing tools like ozone therapy, trace minerals, a nutrient-dense diet, a mentholation test, so you're not wasting your money on supplements, that you're only buying the ones that your particular body needs, and you're supplementing to your deficiencies, is really how I think we begin to really turn the tables in our own personal health. And that's, you know, that's really my message today.
It's a big story, and it's a big, it's like turning the Queen Elizabeth around for so many people, right? I just want to let people know if they want to know more, if they want to talk with you, you're very generous with your time, Jay. We've had great conversations. If people want to get hold of you, right now I know you're building a website, but the best way is for people to email you. So the email address, I just want everyone to write this down, bewellnano@protonmail.com. bewellnano@protonmail.com if you'd like to learn about what Jay has been talking about, if you're curious about his suppositories that have high potency, cannabinoids specifically targeting chronic illnesses, as well as that combination with amygdalin, which is the B17, which has certainly been demonized. I used to eat apricot seed kernels, which had B17, which they said is a poison, but actually, as you described, it's a healing, it's another healing gift from nature. And you've done this in a unique way. I just want to emphasize that what you have formulated are these suppositories. Are the oral supplements, enteric covered supplements available at this point, Jay?
Yes, they are. With the suppository, okay, we must have a doctor's referral. With the enteric coated gel capsules, we do not. That's just a legality in America. And I will say, if we have two more minutes, can I touch on amygdalin?
Yeah, go ahead. Two more minutes. Go ahead. Before we're cut off. Go ahead.
Amygdalin can be toxic. 22 people, undoubtedly with cancer, took a dose ranging around 9,000 milligrams and dissolved it in their stomach, and that was a lethal dose. And that is true. There are concerns and valid concerns regarding amygdalin. The difference is delivery, okay? And this is the huge difference. When amygdalin is injected into the arm or a suppository or an enteric-coated gel cap, the toxicity is reduced by up to a factor of 40 times less. And that allows you to take a therapeutic dose safely. So only those three delivery methods would I have ever utilized to take more than 1,000 milligrams of amygdalin. And by the way, our therapeutic dosing limit are coming around 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams a day for serious conditions. So we never even come close to that LD50 number, the lethal dose where 50% of the control group would perish from taking it. The average lethal dose is around 9,000 milligrams, and we never come close to that. But by changing the delivery method, we have substantially decrease the toxicity because we're not unlocking the amygdalin in the stomach. we unlock it in the bloodstream, just like if it's intravenous. And again, that was the subject of our first patent filing. So the reduced toxicity is why this works. It's like with so many things. And then, you know, today we're told part of the story to scare us, but not the rest of the story to learn the truth.
So I just want to support the work that Jay is doing in his research and his passion to help people. This is the suppositories that Jay's talking about with the THC, that high potency cannabinoid, and also the amygdalin is a product that I'm taking. So I'm using it. And I was so impressed with the work that Jay is doing and the high potency that has that therapeutic value that, and the affordability of it, I have to say, Jay, is something that I've incorporated in my healing protocol that I'm working the time. And you've been very generous with your time, as always, to help people. And I just wanted to be sure to share all this wonderful good news to all my listeners, because I'm sure there are people out there who are searching for help, searching for answers, searching for healing, their autoimmune condition or their cancer diagnosis. And the good news is that there are safe, effective, non-invasive ways that can restore the body. And to me, this is absolutely one of them that I have incorporated. So if you want to follow up with Jay and learn more, contact him on his email address, bewellnano@protonmail.com, and discover what's possible for you on your healing journey. There are always answers that are safe and effective and profound. And this is one of them. So, Jay, we've come to the end of the show, and I want to thank you for your dedication, your passion, your generosity with your time in helping people. It's just been such a delight and pleasure and an inspiration to have you on the show today. So wishing you all the best, and I hope people listening will follow up. And if anyone needs to get more information, just contact me. I'd be happy to follow through with you. So until then, Jay, have a great day. And to all my listeners, as always, honor the wisdom of your feminine self. And until next week, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you're listening to What Women Must Know with my guest today, Jay Moon. Thank you all. Bye for now.